And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man.
And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they asked the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden.
Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that we have your word. And we're thankful for all the mercy you have bestowed upon us.
Amen.
We're thankful for the truth that you've allowed us to know and to have such a thing as the book in our hands and to be able to read it. Lord, you have blessed us with rich blessings.
Amen.
I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to teach as only you can give, and that your Holy Spirit will touch every heart in here and apply some of this word where it's needed. Give me the help I need, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Genesis is a tremendous book. And there are just so many things about it that are interesting. And in fact, there's so many ways to go with something like Genesis. You can spend an awful lot of time on the creation story that we looked at the last couple of days. And a couple of Sundays. And there's people that study it trying to find out where the Garden of Eden was. I really don't care. You know, it really doesn't matter to me where the Garden of Eden was. Because it's gone now, after the flood for sure. You're not going to have any problems there. But people can study Genesis for lots and lots of different reasons. Now, I personally like the story. The stories are what I grew up on. My grandmother was always telling me Bible stories. And so I want to talk to you about Adam and Eve today. Adam and Eve is going to be my subject. And before I get started, though, last week I finished with a statement. I said that to me, in my mind, there were four things that were really miraculous in that first chapter that we were talking about. And I got questioned, so evidently I didn't make it clear enough. So I'm going to try to make it clear, and I apologize for any lack of clarity that was at the end of the service, this teaching last week. I said I looked at what I saw in this as four miracles, just really miracles. And the first one was creation. To me, making something out of nothing. Boy, Billy, you're blinding my eyes. I mean, the sun is shining on that windshield and coming right up here to the preacher.
We can see you now.
Hard-headed kid. Got it from his mother. Got all that from his mother. Apple didn't fall too far from the tree. The first of the miracles, as I see it, is creation. Wow. You think about these things. Do you realize that everything we got was made out of dirt? Adam's made out of dirt. All animals are made out of dirt. Everything else you got's made out of dirt. Have you thought how important dirt is? Now then, I don't know that we're all going to go back to dirt now because we got these big cement casket liners that are about 4 inches thick, and they drop you down there so that you don't go back to dirt. So the worms can't get to you. And the embalming and all of that, man, there is a movement in some places to be buried natural. They just take them out and dig a hole in the ground and put them in the dirt. No casket, no embalming, nothing like that. I guess there is a problem. They think if we die of some disease, we'll spread the disease in the dirt. I don't know. Everything's made out of dirt. And when you think about all the beauty, the vastness, the complexity of creation, and to think that there's only so many elements out there. There are only so many things. And God's taken all of them. And it's just, to me, it's just an absolute miracle that all of creation works together so beautifully. It has to be planned. There has to be a supermind. There has to be an architect. Don't tell me this happened by accident. No way. No way. So the miracle of creation, and then the miracle of life. I heard of a man, a very famous man, but he grew up on a farm. He was on a farm until he went in the Air Force right after World War II. And all the troubles growing up on a farm and the poverty and whatever. He became a very rich and famous man. And one of his statements he made was, he never got used to the miracle of life. He loved to go into a garden and see where you plant a tomato seed and the tomato plant comes up and it grows tomatoes. And what I used to do with my tomatoes was I would pick the most beautiful tomato on the healthiest plant and I would save those seeds and plant them the next year. The seed was within itself in life. Can you imagine life in that seed? And where do you have to put it? The ground. It has to go to the ground. It's not going to grow anywhere unless it gets those elements and things like that. How about the miracle of life? Life. Life only comes from life. Life doesn't come from anything else. Scientists can duplicate a sheep, but you got to have part of that life that was already there to duplicate that sheep or to clone somebody or whatever. You're taking the life that's already there. You're taking the DNA. You're taking the life streams and the architect, the drawings for that life. Wow. Life's something else. You ought to thank God every day you live.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of people die young. And we went back to my 55th reunion from high school. Over half of us are dead. I would have thought I would have preceded others, but a bunch of them preceded me. So, hey, life's a beautiful thing. Be thankful for it. Use it. God gave you life so that you could use it. And so you need to use that thing. But life as a miracle. And then reproduction. Has it ever dawned on you what a thing this is and how it's everywhere? Tomatoes reproduce tomatoes. Pecans reproduce pecan trees. Pecan trees have pecans, and those pecans turn into new pecan trees. People reproduce people. We have the seed within ourselves to continue on. And to me, that's just a simple miracle. Tremendous, beautiful thing. The idea of reproduction. And it's in all of us. And it's in everything you see. And God is, through volcanic activity and the sun and the ice and all sorts of things, He's still making new dirt. Dirt's being made right now. And these volcanoes will come out and you think, what could ever grow on that? Well, an island with all sorts of growth will come out of that. And that's where most of them came from. So I think life would be another miracle. Reproduction. And then His kind. This is another thing. Everything reproduces after His kind. You can't give somebody traits you don't have. They got to be in you, or they're not going to be in your offspring. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Well, now you can take, say, a mule. That's generally a male jackass and a female horse to get a big mule. But a mule can't reproduce a mule. Now, jackasses can reproduce jackasses, and horses can reproduce horses. But once you make a mule, he's sterile. But within us, we produce after his kind. There are no missing links in Genesis. No missing links. Amen. By the way, there are no missing links in archaeology.
Amen. Amen.
No. They may find some idiots that were stoned to death down a cave somewhere and their things were preserved. That doesn't mean that everybody lived in caves. It might have been they ran the idiots out and dropped them in there and killed them. Just what it might be. But let me tell you what. Everything reproduces after its own kind. And to me, that's absolutely beautiful. But it shows that you and I were programmed to do what we've done. And so if you have one child or you have no children, you have five like me or 21 like Susanna Wesley, you're reproducing after your own kind. And all of the animals reproduce after their own kind. They don't produce something different. And to me, that's a miracle. That it's limited to you. And you have these parameters. And what's going to come out in your children. You know, kids are always thinking they're going to be different than mom and dad. But you look at them at about 30 years old, 40 and 50 years old, and boy, they're going to be a whole lot like mom and dad. They're going to think like mom and dad in a whole lot of ways. Oh, they'll think they're negative, but let other people look. And they'll tell you, oh, he looks just like. She looks just like. We reproduce after our own kind, and as far as I'm concerned, that is a tremendous miracle. Now, turn to Genesis 2:21. And I'd like to read there. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." I realize, and maybe some of you ladies maybe take offense at this, but I think in our generation, we are trying to make all the girls like boys. I think our laws are trying to make the girls like our boys. Now, I sort of grew up thinking girls were finer, sweeter, more sensitive. Should be appreciated. But now, the word sissy, it comes from little sister. Little sister is sissy. So if you called a boy a sissy, you're saying you're like a little sister. That was an insult to a boy. Because boys are different than girls, aren't they? They really ought to be. And by the way, if you have a problem knowing whether you're male or female, just take off your clothes and stand in front of a mirror. That'll tell you what God made you. You don't have to worry about some psychological test. That will explain to you what you are. Did God make you male? Did He make you female? And then do your best in your clothes you got. God made you that way. And boy, we're not all alike. Do the best you got. All of us got faults and failures. All of us got things that we don't like, don't want. At any rate, I see man as refined dirt.
Amen.
You know what the Bible said?
Amen.
It said God took dirt and He made a man.
Amen.
Now, think about the wisdom that's in this, and they didn't have a bunch of our smart scientists in those days. You know, I've had scientists say your body is worth about $2.37 in in its minerals and everything. If you took them all out and sold, you're not worth a whole lot. But everything about you will go right back to the earth. From the earth you were taken, and to the earth you shall return. Now, man is then, well, that doesn't look like dirt. And by the way, I took a clean shower this morning with soap all over. I'm not very dirty, but I'm dirt. Refined dirt. Can you imagine these eyes are dirt? Can you imagine my brain is dirt? God took that earth and He made man, and He made him in such a way that he is a fabulous thing. Honestly. Now, my opinion on my wife, she has super smelling. She has super hearing. And she has her own opinion of taste. Now, if she don't approve of the shirt, I don't buy it. I don't have any yellow shirts. I like yellow. When I was growing up in Dayton, I had a yellow leather motorcycle jacket. It was cool, man. It was cool. But my wife will not give me permission to buy a yellow shirt. Why? Because she says it doesn't look good with my skin. Now, that's girls for you, isn't it? Is that women? It's too loud. It's too hot. It's too cold. Women are more sensitive. You know what women are? Re-refined dirt. You know why? They've been refined a second time. How did God make women? He made it out of that refined dirt. He took a rib out of Adam. Now, by the way, don't go looking around to see if all the men have one less rib than all the women. There's just one man that lost a rib. Okay? Just one man lost a rib. And that was Adam. But that is already refined dirt. So what we have in women is more refinement. Don't we? Let me ask you something. Is there any difference in raising a boy and a girl? I raised two boys. They were my first. And then I raised three girls. Boy, is there a difference. I could ask Danny and Laura. They raised two girls, got them grown, and now they got this little bundle of energy. And I mean, he is keeping them both busy. Believe it or not. Now, until the girls start dating, and then you don't go to sleep till they get home. You praying for them, you praying for them. I watched out and prayed a lot more for my girls than I did for my boys. The boys, yeah, they're tough. Go out there and take it. You know, hit the road. But there's a difference between a boy and a girl. And my opinion is women are made out of re-refined dirt. Men are made out of dirt, refined dirt, and women that just have one more refinement makes them a little better. And I really don't like what we're doing in this generation. I think we're doing wrong trying to make all these girls be like all these boys. That's my opinion. Now, look at verses 19 and 20 in chapter 2. 19 and 20. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him, suitable for him. I have read in textbooks and seen on television and movies all of this evolution. I consider it garbage. I think it's men being too smart for themselves, and they don't really know what they're doing. And, of course, they go with the premise, there is no God. They don't start with, it could be God. They don't start with there's an intelligent being, whether you call him God or not, out there. They start with the premise there is no God. So they have to come up with an explanation of how all of this stuff came to be. And they take man back millions of years and coming up through the ape and then maybe the chimpanzee and then all the way up to Cro-Magnon man and whatever till they finally came down to humanoids. A man that looked like some of us. Does that sound like Adam? You have a hard time picking out enough names for your kids. Name everything? This is no caveman. I'm not saying he never lived in a cave, but what we think of as a caveman, Adam is not. This man, this being is intelligent. He is super smart. God made these animals out of the same stuff He made man. And we now know that's true. The scientists can take us all apart, melt us down, decide what elements are in there. And yes, we're all made out of the same stuff. And yet look at the difference in us. Look at the intelligence in man's brain. They tell me dolphins are real smart. Well, I wouldn't doubt they are. I've got a little dog that is smart. He almost talks. He'll want me to throw his lid. And he'll come in and say, what do you want me to do? And he'll hit it. And then he'll hit it again. And he'll look at me and he'll hit it again. He's saying, throw it, dummy, throw it. He's a smart dog. There's a lot of intelligence out there. But let me tell you something. Adam was super intelligent. When God made Adam's brain, He made it better than yours. You and I are a long ways from Adam. Adam is your father. But you're a long ways from him. You've come down a line. And as that diversification of the whole world in different colors of people, different sizes of people, he was intelligent. What it shows me about Adam here, he's a super brain himself. Very, very intelligent man. I personally think, this is just, I shouldn't even say it, but I think they were bigger than us. I think they were made bigger. They certainly lived longer before the flood to after the flood. The flood is the difference between the old age. Now, after you get through with Noah and his sons, why then the age just really starts dropping. At any rate, Adam is a very intelligent being. And he gave the names to all animals. I can't remember the names of the trees on my lot. I have 13 acres. And I think Verlene complaining about her oaks dying, but she's got 10,000 other trees. No complaining. And I don't know one from another. Now, I've had a cousin of mine come out, and he's walking through. Now, that's an elm, and that's a this, and that's a something. He pointed them out to me. I don't remember that stuff. I remember numbers. I probably got your telephone number in my head. Right up there, ground in. But names, Adam named everything. Man, I'm telling you, he had a brain. I've always wondered why he named fly, fly. Looked like you'd take a big eagle or a condor and say, fly. No, he did this little bitty pest. Calls it fly. Well, fly, isn't that what they're doing? Fly? That's interesting to me anyway. All right. I think that what we see in Adam and what's proved about Adam in Genesis, right here, chapter 2, is that he was a very, very intelligent man. And he was put into the garden. He's a farmer. He was an orchard man. A person that deals with living plants. That is a bright sun. Now, you don't have to do it. I'll live, but you better do it before whoever gets up here to preach. What? The sun will move. Oh. Yeah, see what I produced. There you go. Adam was no caveman. He was a very intelligent man, and he's just tremendous. And he's our ancestor. Now, he gets wiped out to down to Noah's family later on. So we're all out of Noah, but then Noah was out of Adam. So we're all out of Adam too. So that's the way we've come. Now, let's look at chapter 3:3. God has made the woman and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, "Whoa, man." That's how she got her name. He took one look at her and he said, "Wow, she fits me. She's suitable." I sort of felt that way when I saw Verlene at 16. Wow, whoa, man, she sort of fits me. And it has worked out that way. We have fought for 59 years, or maybe 61.
Yes.
Had a lot of fun. Eve and her sin. Look at verse 9, or verse 3:3. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent comes to Eve. Now they're in the garden. They're still innocent. They're still naked. They're still in fellowship with God. And the serpent was the most subtle of all that God created. People that are subtle, you got to watch them. Now, I'm not subtle. Anybody know that? I'm straightforward in your face. And that's the way I do everything. I don't just do you that way. I do Verlene that way. I did my kids that way. I did my job that way. I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, sometimes I don't tell you everything I think. I think that's wisdom. You don't give all your mind to anybody. In fact, the Bible says people who keep their mouth shut look wise. The Proverbs tells you. But I am straightforward in your face. I'm going to tell you if I think it's right or I think it's wrong or if I like it or I don't like it or where I stand. That's to me giving truth. That's to me being honest. That's the way my personality is and I like it. A serpent, Satan, is subtle. He slips it to you gently. He doesn't offend. Oh, he comes around and just, "Oh, wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like that? And, oh, isn't this so beautiful? And, oh, everybody's doing it." He's got all of his ways. You've all been tempted so many ways by someone who is subtle. That means they're not open. You don't know what their motives are. You don't know where they're going to take you. You don't know whether they're for you or against you. He was the most subtle of all the beasts that the Lord God had made. And he comes up to Eve. He didn't go to Adam. He came to Eve. And he says to Eve, "Can you eat of everything here?" "Yes, we can eat a tree, everything. Except for one tree." "Well, what is that?" "Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And what?
"Tree of life."
No. They could have eaten of the tree of life. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "Do not eat of it, and do not touch it, lest you die." Now, what's wrong with that? You added to the Word of God. What did God tell Adam? "Don't eat of it. The day you eat of it, you're going to die." He said nothing about touching it. In fact, Adam's job was to touch it. Adam's job was to take care of the whole nursery, the whole garden, the whole orchard, the whole garden valley. Wonderful thing. He's supposed to touch it. He's supposed to dig around it. He's supposed to do whatever needs to be done to it. He wasn't supposed to eat of that one tree. Now, you don't need 10 commandments. All you got to have is one. Does that tell you something about all of us?
Yeah.
You don't need to have 10 commandments. You just need one and you'll break it. I don't care who you are, you'll break it.
Amen.
You ever tried to really live up to some of your New Year's resolutions? Do you make it a week? Wow. Now, I have always pretty well blamed Eve for adding to the Word of God. But I wonder, you see, when God gave that command to Adam, Eve wasn't even around. Adam is in the garden. And God tells him to take care of all of these trees. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of it, for on the day you eat of it, you shall die. That's the command. You know how people get in trouble? They add to the Word of God. They want to make it better. All these Hollywood movies, they're going to tell some Bible story, and they've got to change the story. Greatest stories ever written, and they've got to change them. Talk about ego. You think you can tell a better story than the Bible? Been around for a whole lot of people for a whole lot of time. She added to the Word of God. But remember, she didn't get that directly from God. Adam, in talking to his wife, whom I imagine he instantly loved, you talk about love at first sight, I imagine that was there. He tells her, now while we're working, that tree right there, it's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and don't you ever eat of it, because the day you eat of it, you're going to die. By the way, don't even touch it. Just leave that tree alone. I'll take care of that tree. Now that's just my imagination. And you can take it for what it's worth. But she didn't get the direct command from God, but she added to the Word of God. I think today there are church after church, there's congregation after congregation, people all over this world, even in the Christian church, that are adding to God's words. They don't value them as they are. They don't accept them as authoritative. And therefore they get doctrine that is messed up. What about the Jews? What did Jesus say about them? They made their commands, and their commands negated God's Word. You don't add to the Word of God. Now, you don't take from the Word of God either. Now, Satan didn't exactly take from the Word of God. He denied it. God said, not true. What did he tell Eve? Why? God's holding back something good from you. That's the story he's still using with people, young people especially, but I've seen some old people who were so stupid as to doubt God's plan for their life. To doubt God's Word. God's keeping from you this great tree that will make you like gods, to know good and evil. And she went and looked at that tree. Well, it looked like good fruit. I bet it was a tasty fruit. I bet it was a temptation. It looked good for food. And it's supposed to be a tree to make you wise. Well, you got all these reasons. Why did God keep us from this? And so the subtle serpent deceived Eve, and she ate of the fruit. Now, I'm going to read later on if I have time. Oh, goodness, man, it's taking too much time. I'm chasing too many rabbits. Well, I won't have to study for next week. When you looked at all of that, I would be like a god. What do the kids think about drugs? Now, I take a lot of drugs. Verlene takes a lot of drugs. Man, we take the drugs. But you know what? They don't ever make me high. I can double up on them. It don't make any difference. I don't get high. I don't know how the kids get high. They like to steal the same drugs we're even taking, and she doesn't get high. They're looking for something. Something bigger, something better, something more exotic, something more fun. Something has been withheld from us because we're young. Yeah, you parents, you all did this, and you just don't want us to enjoy the same thing. Oh, I tell you what, devil's got a lot of ways. And by the way, your friends. Well, if you're not going to drink with me, you're not my friend. If you're going to go home, well, bless your heart, go home sometime. Just get up and go home.
Amen.
I gave my daughters a $20 bill to put in their purse. And if they ever need it, just use it. Get a taxi cab, come home, call me. If you can't get me, get yourself home. But if they start doing drugs or drinking, get out of there. I don't care who it makes mad.
Amen.
And I talked to some boys that dated my daughters, and I told them, if I ever hear that they had drugs or alcohol and you didn't get my daughter out of there, I'm coming after you. You get her up and get her out of there. I don't care, even if she doesn't want to. And if she don't want to come, you call me. I'll go get her. People think they're being put on, that they're missing out on things. Yeah, you're missing out on a lot of trouble, most of you.
Amen.
You're missing out on a lot of heartache, most of you.
Amen.
Adam and Eve eat of the fruit. Why did Adam eat of the fruit? You ever thought about that at all? The Bible says in the New Testament, and I'm going to read it, I probably won't get to it today, but he was not deceived. Adam went into it with his eyes open. Do you reckon he died to save Eve? He loved Eve so much he couldn't stand to turn loose of her. Well, I've known a bunch of men make stupid moves because of some woman. Of course, I've known some women make stupid moves because of some man, too. But at any rate, Adam's not deceived. He eats of the fruit knowing exactly what it's going to bring. It's going to bring death. And he decides, he makes a decision, he dies with Eve. Now, I don't know if that was in his head. That's in my thinking. But you look at it and say, why? You didn't think God could make another one? Oh, God could have made another Eve. I don't know what was in his head, but he ate of it. Isn't it something that the blame game starts here? You know what the blame game is? He did it. They did it first. They took me into it. I taught school for 20 years. And I have had some of the least disciplined jerks, gang members, thugs, in my classes. Probably almost every year, I'd have somebody killed in gang warfare out of my classes. And the mother will come up and tell me it's all the other boys that are causing their boy to be bad. No. It's your kid that's causing the others to be bad. But they will not accept that. They will not accept that. Are you like that? You're not going to accept what might really be the truth? Well, Adam decided to eat. She added to the Word of God, the devil denied the Word of God, and when she looked at it, she said, oh, that's just too good. That's just too good. It's so appealing. Should be so much fun. Should be absolutely great. And then what happened? Adam and Eve said, we're naked. Now, you talk about first solution, fig leaves. I've had a few fig trees in my life. You had to do something to get fig trees do you any good. There's a whole lot of work out there with not much support. All of a sudden, we're naked. And they hear God's voice coming, walking through the garden. And they hid themselves. They never hid themselves before. I don't know how many days. I don't know how long this lasted. It may not be just one day or 2 days or 3 days or something like that. It could have been months. God comes walking, and they hear Him, and they hide. Well, now, why did they hide? Guilt. Guilt. All of a sudden. Do you know how bad a thing guilt is? Well, it works good because sometimes we're guilty enough we call on God. But the thing of it is, guilt's a terrible thing to bear. Thank God we have forgiveness. Thank God we can go to God and be forgiven. They're guilty, and because of their guilt, they're afraid to be in the presence of God. Aren't you that way? You ever get to the place that you've done something that you shouldn't have done? You've been stupid. You don't want to admit it, but you've been stupid. And you don't want to face God. So let's don't go to church. Oh, that's a great time not to go to church. When you're guilty and you haven't got it settled and you don't want to repent and you don't want to seek God, bless your heart, that's the time you ought to be in church. That's the time you ought to be praying. That's the time you ought to be down at the altar. That's the time you ought to be crying, "Oh, God, forgive me." Well, God finds them out. He said, how'd you know you were naked? Did you eat of the tree? Yeah. And here's the blame game. Adam, did you eat of that tree? The woman you gave me. I've used that one a few times. Don't just blame Verlene. Woman you gave me. If you just got one kid, it's a little hard to understand. If you got a bunch of kids and you ask who did it, they'll all lie. They'll all say, "Well, I had extenuating circumstances. It was him. I was led into this, you know." I mean, a whole lot of kids really get themselves in trouble because they do follow a leader. Somebody says, "Let's go steal gas out of the cars and put it in our gas. Let's go siphon gas." I swallowed some of that one night when I was a teenager. It does not do you good. Man, that'll give you problems. And I could have said, "Well, they tempted me." I learned pretty quick it didn't do any good. My daddy didn't accept excuses like that. At any rate, "The woman thou gavest me." Looks like Adam saying, "God, it's your fault. It's the woman that tempted me to do this, but you're the one gave her to me. You made her and you gave her to me." So there's the first blame game. Okay, he goes to the woman. She says, "The serpent." The serpent. And you know God accepted it every time. Adam said the woman. God blamed the woman. Woman said the serpent. God said the serpent. He told that serpent, "Her seed will be at war with you." Wow. I mean, this is New Testament truth in here. Christ is the seed. And Christ kills the devil, hits him in the head. And the devil hits him in the heel. On the cross of Calvary, there's the devil. And the people are out there yelling at Christ, "Come down from the cross if you're really, really the Son of God. Show us. We'll believe." Well, he performed miracle after miracle and they didn't believe. He knew what was in all men. So right here you have a picture and a prophecy that I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And you're going to bruise her seed's heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And the Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And one of the big works of the devil is death. Well, I'm running out of time here. I'm just halfway through. I was having so much fun picking on you, playing with you. You know something? No matter how they blamed each other, they all suffered. Have you ever noticed that about sin? You can blame somebody for your sin. You can say they led you into it, or they suckered you somehow, or they whatever they did. But you're going to suffer. Well, how did Adam suffer? Well, the ground got all these weeds and trash and whatever. And you're fighting them all the time. You're doing your best to get a good crop. What do you have to do? Any of you ever had a really good-sized garden? You got to work. A garden takes work. You got to be out there. You got to get rid of the weeds. You got to water it. You got to pull this. And you got to do something to that. You got to work on this thing or the other thing. Well, what about the woman? Well, great pain in childbearing. Carol Burnett, I think, said, "You want to understand about birth? Take your lower lip and pull it over your head." It is funny, but not to these women here. Yeah, you don't see how that big head can get there. I don't know how it gets out. And then Satan. The serpent going to crawl on the ground, eat dust all the days of his life, and enmity between the woman and the serpent. Now, there are a lot of women that are snake charmers, but the truth is that's not a natural thing for a woman. My wife sees a snake, I don't care if it's a garter snake. She is in trouble. "Lendl, come take care of this." Then she'll let me take care of her problem. I love the stories of Genesis, and I've enjoyed this. I have more to go with next week. Lord bless you.
It's not Brian.